Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 142 of the Overseas Connection podcast for March the 11th, 2017. I was about to say the Overseas Connection podcast is the most ponderous and regressive podcast on the internet. Why not?
Wrong.
Why not? Old habits.
It's your show to do what you want.
Hey, you know what? Why not? Crossover. Smash the genes together and see what we come up with, right? So, yes, that voice in the background is one of our lovely guests tonight. I am your host, Fraser Moore, as I've been given hosting duties, regular hosting duties, by the one and only legend and hero, or is it hero and legend, Greg DeLacy. This is my first foray into that regular slot. I hope you like hearing my voice, because you're probably going to hear it a lot more. You hear it enough anyway. It doesn't matter, right? So, yes, without further ado, then, let's introduce our guest. You've already heard him. His voice is a little bit weak on the old Twitch side, but the recording for this, if you're listening at home on your podcast listener of choice, should be fine. It's Greg DeLacy.
Well, thank you for having me on the show today, Fraser. This is an honor. I feel special.
Thank you for thanking me.
Yes.
What's it feel like? Do you feel like there's been, like, obviously people aren't seeing behind the scenes, so we're sitting here, we're busy in a way, and there's still a lot of work that goes on to get the show. Like, we've been tinkering away for at least half an hour, twiddling with things, and you've been working hard because you're sorting out. Do you still feel like there's a bit of a weight lifted from your shoulders, or?
No, this actually is much added more pressure now because I have to do all the audio stuff in the background, and apparently I'm not good at it. Something going on with my mic and the software, and so my voice is coming in low, and it happened last week as well. So I thought I had it sorted out this time,
right.
But apparently not. I mean, you guys can hear me fine on Skype, but apparently the software I need to do something, and it's funny because it probably was not an issue before, because when Mark or Rich was hosting it, my voice was coming through fine on their software. So, figure.
So, Mark and Rich, your job is still safe.
Not taking anybody's job.
No, there's nothing. They're quite safe. If you want to play a little game at home now, you can do sort of like an elimination. It's like real life Cluedo. Podcast Cluedo is who's left. Who could possibly be on the show? Now there's only two left. It's very exciting. Who could it possibly be? Oh, there's a little snigger in the background there. That is our wonderful Kim, Gamergirl 22nd. Kim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, you know, we went from having 50 to 60 degree weather to snowing and 20 degrees. So, you know, I'm a little pissed off at Mother Nature at the moment, but otherwise, I'm fine. So,
Wait, hold on. In honor of our other guest, I would like to add in a sound effect, but I don't actually have the sound effect, so I will just do an impromptu. Ha ha!
That's right, yes. So that alludes, thanks Kim, that alludes then to, we have sort of a guest. I don't know, do we count him as a guest anymore? I don't know, he's part of the furniture.
Original, original.
Oh, he can't, he's just OG. He's dying to talk. It's the wonderful Mr. Mike Cole Chin.
My real name is just Mike Chin, actually, Fraser.
Is it?
He learned some, yeah. Look, I think my dad was drunk, because he said... I didn't want to call you Michael because I didn't want people calling you Mick. I mean, Dad, if you don't want people calling me Mick, call me Steve. The fuck are you
Fair
doing?
Point. Is that true? Is that really true? On your
that's absolutely true. That's my dad's logic of why my name is not Michael. It's just Mike.
Okay, I don't know if I've told you this story. There's a guy who I knew or still know. And he comes in and he's a mechanic, right? So he comes in and we sell him stuff. And he's got Michael. His name's Michael. He comes in and is on his name is embroidered, like a lot of mechanics. They'll have their name embroidered on their overalls. Michael. Right. And I'm looking at it. I'm going, they've spelt your name wrong on your overalls. He's going, yeah, I get that a lot. Actually, that's how it's meant to be spelled.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I have never, ever encountered anyone else who spelt Michael M-I-C-H-E-A-L. Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
I don't know.
Mike, I'm with you, Fraser.
You're not a Michael. So really,
I can't solve it for you, I'm afraid.
No, you're not. I thought you were the real deal.
Just because my mom and dad were pissed when they named
me.
Well,
I'm starting to wonder about these parents who have kids named Mike or Michael. What's going on?
They just don't care. They're just like, oh, what should we call him? I don't know. He's like our third one. Fuck him. Mike. Whatever. They were just disappointed that they didn't have a girl. They wanted a girl because they had two guys, like boys, and they were just like...
They were going to name you Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were just like, oh my god, just throw him over there with the rest of them. They were quite happy that I wasn't ginger because they had two ginger kids. So they were quite, well, you know, we kind of benefit a little bit there. At least he's not ginger, but.
A little bit.
I am a little bit ginger. I had my hair cut today and I noticed a lot more grey hair falling from my face. Just.
Yes. Yeah, I went to the barber's the other day and I had my hair cut and I'm certainly of the age where grey is an issue, right? But he cuts my hair. That's right. But I said to him afterwards, you know what? Your worst thing you're doing to me here is you're having one of those black overall things. I don't use black because when I look down, all I see is grey hair. I mean, could you not just use like a black or a silver? And we'd all feel a little bit better in this situation.
I got one more. You should just knock me out and cut my hair when I'm just cold out.
There you go.
You know.
So funny that you said that. Our son is really tough to cut his hair. He doesn't like to sit still.
You haven't knocked him out, Craig.
No, but he fell asleep last night on the floor, and so I look over and Cindy is cutting his hair while he's sleeping.
Nice,
brilliant. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Brilliant. I think that's what my wife did with babies. Though they cut their nails when they were asleep or something. See, they'd be asleep. See this little snip, snip. But there you go. So anyway, you're well, Mike. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I did something about half an hour ago that a woman who has just split up with her boyfriend normally does, which is eat a half a tub of ice cream for no reason. And I'm really...
Are you sad?
I'm very happy. I was watching... I was really happy. I went, oh, ice cream, and I just ate loads of it. And I'm like, oh, my
You're
God.
You're not feeling guilty about anything, are you?
No, I feel fine.
Right, okay. Right.
No, I feel
what
great.
What kind of ice cream was it?
I don't know. It was like a posh one. It was like a posh.
Flavor-wise,
like,
you don't know what... That's what I want to
know. I was like vanilla.
Ice cream?
Oh, okay. Vanilla. It was like...
There's nothing posh about vanilla.
No, but it was like a fancy one.
Did it have gold in the packet? On the packet?
Right.
Yeah, it had all like swirls in it and shit. Nice. And I just devoured it.
Nice.
And I don't know why I did that. I kind of regret it a little bit now.
Did you sort of wake up afterwards and wonder what had just happened?
I just sort of like, I looked at the time and I went, oh my god, I've got, and it took me about 10 minutes to get off the sofa. And Tara, who had already fallen asleep at that point, it was a process. But I'm here. Thank you for inviting me. Video games.
Yes, well, let's do it before Mike starts to drive the podcast.
Sorry.
Right.
We have story time. What is that? The music?
We don't have an intro.
Amateurs.
I know this is Greg's got it filled in, this bit filled in, and I have this bit filled in. So, Greg.
Yes.
On a hot tin roof.
Yeah, so, okay. We've had an issue with the little critter we've heard up in our attic. Now, I've attempted to kill this thing multiple different ways. I've gone with traps. I've gone with poison.
Yeah.
So far, nothing seems to have worked.
Poison traps.
Poison traps.
The whole nine yards. So finally I've kind of got, you know, okay.
Is this a rat, Greg?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Unidentified.
Yeah.
Unidentified.
It could be a ghost for all I know. I'm starting
to
kind of lean that way. I'm going to guess a roof rat. That's a California thing. We get them.
Yes,
so
I had lunch with someone who lived in California and they were telling me about roof rats.
Yes, so that would be my guess.
About 6 months ago, we had a rat. I didn't call him a roof rat. I just called him a rat. I didn't know how to sort of, you know, affiliate him with a part of the house, Greg. I'm not that fancy, I'm afraid.
Do your best. No, you can't talk about a rat.
Only your ice cream.
Without doing a good Jimmy Cagney impersonation. Go on. Go on. You dirty man.
Where are you going with this? I don't know.
I want to hear somebody do it. Mike's out there impersonating. Right. Come on, monkey. When we poke you with the stick, do something.
I don't know that impersonation, I'm afraid.
You Dirty Red. No? No.
Don't know it.
Okay.
Dirty Red! Anyway, so yeah.
When the bell rings, you move on.
I just get my coat.
Well.
Yeah, you pick your paycheck up later.
That's right. Check, please.
Yeah, I know that there's some access point on our roof because I've walked around the perimeter of the house and there's nothing I can see. There's no, holes or anything where they're coming in.
The perimeter.
Into the walls. Did the perimeter check. So I'm like, okay, I got to get up on the roof. So I got up on the roof today.
Was there just a rat, like somebody been smoking at the top, just like, oh shit, fuck.
I would have loved that. If that had been the case, that would have been fantastic. Yeah. But no, so I'm up on the roof, and we have, but there's different types of roof types, right? There's your traditional shingle roofs, and in California, they do a lot of tile roofs. And this is a tile-roofed house. Well, tile roofs get hot, and I've heard people talking about, you don't want to be up there in the summertime because it gets, scalding hot up there. So I was like, well, okay, the weather today, it was 68 degrees at the peak of the afternoon. And I got up there around, 11 o'clock. Jesus, it was hotter than hell up there already. I was just baking. And I did not, as far as I can tell, this thing could be going in from any place. I don't know.
No.
I had some steel wool with me. I plugged in a couple areas where I thought it might be coming through. Likely, I didn't stop anything.
What did you try and block it up with?
Steel wool.
Steel wool.
Yes. Yeah. So rats typically will kind of chew through things, like plaster, that kind of thing, but they do not like trying to chew through steel wool.
Mm.
So if you have a hole where a mouse or rodent is coming through, shove steel wool in there.
Do they parachute in these rats then? How do they
get? I think so. So that was the other thing. We went through and we trimmed back all of the trees back from the house today. So that was the other big thing. Owning a home sucks, for the record.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Because when something happens, oh.
There's no landlord to call.
I have to do that.
Yeah. And I have to pay for it. What's up with that?
It's funny you say
2 o'clock in the morning and a raccoon tries to fall through your ceiling.
And you get a shotgun out and just blast.
Yeah. I was so impressed. I was so impressed by that story, Kim. Like, because the story was going sort of standard, right? Like, I was a raccoon, and we don't get raccoons in England, so that was quite interesting for me. And then it dropped through the scene, and I was like, that's a funny story. Yeah, and then we got a gun. I'm like, fuck. And then I shot it, no big whoop, and the mess was everywhere. Whatever. We was eating dinner, boy, an hour later. Whatever. Fuck it. I'm like, well, that's amazing. Like, that's great. What a great story.
It is.
Thank you.
Yeah. By the way, Kim, did you eat the raccoon?
Dear God, no.
Why not? It's fresh meat. Hunting.
Yeah, not how I hunt. Thank you.
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
roofs are hot. Rats are elusive. I feel like Bill Murray in Caddyshack. And this rat is the gopher, and it's just making fun of me every time. I've got up into the attic. We have spray insulation, so that's that real kind of like fluffy insulation that's everywhere. And you just see all of these gazillion tracks. I mean, this thing is just motoring along through our attic, and
loving
slightly afraid it's kind of big.
What about
because those tracks are not small?
What about doing like just the bucket and the where you put a piece of doweling across the bucket and a peanut butter soda bottle on top or whatever. So drown him. Get it up there. Get a trap up there.
All right. Okay. I have a cage.
You can find tutorials.
Yeah. My desire is to catch what it is so I can figure out what the hell I'm dealing with. But I have a cage up there now. It's a.
Why? Great. Why do you want to catch it and figure it out? Like,
here's the deal.
I want to torture it. You get information like who do you work for?
Totally. Who do you work for?
I'm not telling you nothing.
I'm gonna waterboard it. No. So I'm gonna catch this thing eventually. That's my hope.
Yeah.
And I will figure out what it is, so I can properly lay down future traps that will be more effective. And then two, I'm gonna take it to my neighbor's house, and I'll just let it go.
There you go.
Like a GoPro or like a, just like you can get these Chinese sort of cameras, like about £50, so well, like $60-$70 or whatever, and they have night vision on them, and you can like look at them on your phone. And
Mike,
stuff.
I was really kind of hoping to avoid having to actually spend money on this problem. I really don't want to invest in an entire video setup to fucking watch
it. How much is your time worth? How much is your time worth, Greg?
These are the things. These are the important questions. Ask
the
Mike.
Burning questions.
This is the Ask Mike section.
That's what
I
Mike
like that
to
idea.
Table.
I get a light up there, even if you don't go infrared. Get a light up there. If you got an old cell phone, like if you got any old cell phones that can still go on Wi-Fi, pop it up there. Get it like on Wi-Fi recording or whatever, broadcasting to your PC.
Put them everywhere. They're fine. Yeah. Get in there.
We're getting an update.
All right.
Rockcast.
Hopefully, I will have an update for you soon.
Okay, good.
Good all luck. Right.
Okay, roofs, good. That's good. I like that. I have a little bit here from last week. We started, we said we'd try and get on with multiplayer sessions. We did a multiplayer session. Actually, Greg, you're back on talking again. We're not getting rid of you yet. Because
I know.
We got together and played some multiplayer Halo. It was great.
Yes.
Good fun.
It was. It was.
We had... I've got to remember who we had in there now. Peachy Tips came and joined us. Nick was there. Two of my friends from down the road were here. My son and his friend. And that was about it, I think, wasn't it, for that?
Yep. Jason, we were trying to get Jason Johnson to come in. He was watching TV. We were annoying the crap out of him because I spammed the invite to him a gazillion times.
I know Stulek was trying to get in too, but he had a bit of trouble. I think he was trying to download it. And I only just noticed, Stulek, if you're listening, there was a message saying he couldn't get into the game, which I had missed that message.
Lies. Oh, no, Stu's here. Oh, no.
So it was good. We had a great fun. Played for a couple of hours, and it was good. We played.
Is this Halo 5?
We played a bit of everything. We started.
No, it was Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
We started off on some Halo 2. That was interesting to see how that has not aged that well, Halo 2. That's well beyond its sell-by date. But we then bumped up to Halo 3 or 4.
Yeah, we played 3, and then we played 4. 3, I thought, was... Was that the one where we did the rockets?
I think that was 4.
Yeah, either way, that was fun. Rockets and Halo, just rocket launchers and Halo are just fun.
It was.
Anytime,
Very good fun. So that was great. And then I think tomorrow we're going to try and play some Battlefield 1 on the Xbox One.
Ooh.
Yep.
So that's the same time, 12 o'clock Eastern time, 9 a.m. your time, Greg.
Yes.
Killing time.
Yeah, unfortunately, in the U.S., we're at that time of the year where our government officials, and you soon will be dealing with this, Mike, as well in a couple weeks. Fraser, I don't know if you guys deal with this or not. I'm assuming you do, but the whole daylight savings nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
That hits tonight.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah, that happens up here. But the only thing it is that I think you and I, Greg and Kim, we will all switch at the same time. But in the U.K., switches like a week or two earlier or later, right?
So, 26th of March this year. Yeah. Right.
So.
Yeah. And it's just a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy to make us lose sleep. Yeah. That's my feeling.
Well, thanks, Obama.
Nicely played. Well done.
Yeah. So after we played that, I actually had more multiplayer. I went and played some Rainbow Six Siege in the evening with Peds and Game Over UK Hards and Step J. That was great.
It's a good game.
Oh man, that was a lot of fun. So we'll definitely.
I love those Siege, don't I? Those lads. Yeah,
it was a real hoot. Yeah, that was great.
That is good.
We didn't get to play as long as I would have liked, but still, what we played was fun. We'll definitely be doing that again, and we'll make that a play date too at some point. So that was great. Thank you, guys. And then also continuing, it's multiplayer madness. I tell you, I was listening to the Boss Wave, Mike. You know that we all listen to each other way too many times when we don't even podcast together. We're already queuing each other up. He said he's on his year of pile of shame, year of living dangerously, has Resident Evil 5. So I've arranged with him to Multiplayer that. I can't wait. It's great. That was great fun. So, Multiplayer Madness. There you go. Anyone else?
Crazy.
Nice.
Hey, Mike, you can say it now. Oh, well, we already are talking about video games, right? Do the What You've Been Playing jingle.
Let's do that.
Come on.
What you been playing?
Thank you, Mike. When I poke you with playing? The stick, it means you're supposed to do it.
So you want me to do it? Wow, I kind of wish I never talked over that so we could use it again. Oh, great. I can't top that, Fraser.
No,
I can't.
I'm just going to be the sound effect machine.
Yeah.
My wife is peeking in now, being like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, what's he doing?
What was that?
Okay, yeah. So we have, what are we going to do? Kim?
Well, yeah.
The word, should we start with Kim? Okay. It was put out.
It's your show, man.
Do not bring a certain game to the podcast this week. Enough was enough, right? And you didn't. I'll give you that. I was hoping, sort of hoping for something a little bit new. But you did what was asked. You did what was asked. I'm not going to argue. So go ahead.
See, here's the thing, though. I've already got, like, what, two or three games started. I mean, the one we're not talking about, not counting, because it's not really, you know, doesn't really count. I don't want to start anything new. I hate starting games and then moving off and starting something else and then trying to come back and play in another game. It's just, maybe it's weird. I don't know, but that's just the way I am.
Okay, real quickly. for those that don't understand this situation. So Kim has a few core games that she has sunk hundreds of hours into. And yeah. What kills, I think, all of us collectively is when we talk to Kim, you ask her if she has this game or that game. She has bought a ton of games. Literally, she has four games, boxed games, in their wrapper still, never opened. She has probably 20-some-odd digital titles, never played them.
At least.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't either.
I have been building
it's crazy.
A house. So, you know, I haven't really had much time to play.
That's
anything.
Been your excuse, like, for 3 months, Kim.
Right.
And I'm building sick of it.
Killing raccoons.
3 years.
3 years, probably. No. But
In fairness, if I was going to build a house, it would take a hell of a lot longer than 3 years.
If I wouldn't even know where to start to build a house. But, you know, every week, what you've been playing, Kim? Well, been building a house. So, Dragon Age Origins, that's it.
That was pretty much
hey,
it.
Hey,
yeah.
I don't like to start multiple games. I can sympathize with you there. I don't like to, like, start too many games at once. But I think you take it to the extreme, Kim, where you just mission one game. And
well, you know, I am playing The Witcher 3, and we all know how big that freaking thing is. So, I mean, come on now. Cut me a little slack.
No, I will. But you don't play little bite-sized games, though, do you? You only seem to play, like... You go into a game shop and you say, "What's the biggest game you got?"
Well, I like to get, but I like to get a big game for my money.
Yeah, I don't even think that's not even it though. I mean, she still buys games. Like, she stockpiles them. I think she's like a hoarder. She's a game hoarder.
I want to know what she's been building the house with, and I think it's cases game of games.
It is cases. You got me. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's funny because I'm up on my screen. I've got Fraser Moore's right next to Kim, and they're like polar opposites. Fraser like plays every game under the sun.
Oh, it's funny you say that because I was driving with my son today to the game store, and he was talking to me about Minecraft, and he was asking me why I don't play Minecraft anymore, and it was a valid question. You know, he said the game never ends. Why aren't you playing it anymore? I said to him, "I got two. This. How am I supposed to play the other things? You know, you got to play the other games. I want to play the other games, right? You know,
right?
And I say games is the same thing that happened when we were kids and we listened to music. You know, you could never believe that anyone could top that awesome song that you listened to, you know, 27 times over the other night. You know, no one will ever make a song as good as that. And then they do, and you're always searching for that next game that's just going to be, you know, I don't know. We're just junkies." Maybe Kim's the only one. Yeah. Kim's the only sane one amongst us.
No, Kim has her Lawrence Welk album that she likes to put on in the evening with a nice cup of tea, and she just plays it. It's very nice.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm reminded, and I don't know why, but it makes me laugh. Is I remember there was a guy I knew when I was young. He had a Ford Capri. But you guys might not be familiar with those cars.
I know the Capri. I know the Ford Capri.
Right? He had this, oh, yeah. Old, I think it was the Capri, the old 2-liter. Sorry, the old, it was, anyway, it was this old Ford. It was like a real wide boy's car. Anyway, a friend of mine went in this guy's car, and he had Eye of the Tiger on a tape looped like 27 times. That's all he played while he was driving around in his Ford Capri. Respect. Can't argue with that.
Big time. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Kim, we've buffered out your time and what you've been playing. Talk us through Dragon Age Origins.
There's not really anything to say.
Okay, I'm done. I'm out of here, right?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It came on backwards compatibility. I downloaded it on the old Xbox One the other day. I came in here to play Witcher 3 like normal.
You say it's not even this generation, is it?
I know, and my little nephew who likes Witcher 3 was in here, and he saw Dragon Age, and he's like, well, what's that? Because, of course, there's the dude with the sword and the dragon, yada, yada. So I thought, okay.
The dude with the sword and the dragon.
That, which, you know, that's all he needs for a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I fired it up, and I think we only went played it for like a half an hour. That was it, so.
This is Tony, right?
Yes.
I can't wait until Tony. Yeah. We're doing the podcast. This is the future. So Tony came in. We just finished celebrating his 16th birthday. He came in and he said, aren't you Kim? Are you still playing Dragon Age Origins?
Or Witcher 3?
Yeah.
You know.
Kim, we give you a hard time. It's because we love you.
Sure.
That's exactly it.
You must be cleaning up all the missions, though, Kim. Like, you must be just...
On Witcher 3, yeah, I'm hitting all the question marks and seeing what is, you know.
So does it drive you mad if there's something on this map I haven't done?
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you do it in a linear process, or do you just go anywhere and then slowly just knock it?
Yeah, I kind of just jump all over the map. Like, oh, I might be in Velen, and then I might go up to, you know, wherever.
I have to say, that is something I miss. I mean, like myself and Fraser and Greg, we play lots of games all the time. And like, every time I play GTA 5, for example, I always think this could be the only game that I play, like when I play it online, because there's so much to do. And I just admit, like, when you're a kid, you play games forever. I never really do that now, because I know, you just move on very quickly. But no, but you don't, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm used to being broke and not having very many games. Because when I grew up, you know, we didn't have very much money. So whenever we could scrape 20 bucks together or 30 bucks or whatever, we'd go to the discount bin, buy us a game. And we'd have to play that game for, you know, till we get to scrape together another 20 bucks to buy another game. So, yeah, yes, 8 years. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, we played that game until we beat that game. And we might play it again. So I guess it's just something that's carried over from back then, so...
Kim, I want you to relax, please, and lay back a little bit, and close your eyes, and tell me about your childhood.
Yeah, Kim, we don't have time for that.
To present to you your new section, Kim's retro section. This is okay. Is there anything else? Is there an end state for Dragon Age Origins? Are you working towards an end game on that one?
No, we just fired it up to screw around. So I mean, it was like that. It was no big thing. You just wanted to see what it was, wanted to check it out. So that's what we did.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
I played a little Battlefield 1 multiplayer, but, you know.
Oh, you're going to play tomorrow.
All right.
No, are you? I'm not telling you.
Oh, I don't.
So I'm not telling
you are
to.
Going to play.
You're
going to
do it tomorrow.
That wasn't an order. That was a question.
I might. We'll see.
Okay. All right, good.
By the way, we may have to shut down the chat because Gary DeFelice just entered the chat.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Gary. I'm not wearing my Bronco shirt today.
Yeah.
Next time.
Yeah. He was disappointed to see that I was actually on the show today. Fraser's running the show. I'm just you know, one of the cogs.
So as someone that doesn't know about American football, who do you support, Greg? What's the team that you what's because he says Broncos and you're all like, oh, bro, and I'm just listening to this guy and I don't know what team you support. What's that?
I now support the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, they moved from San Diego. Yes. Right, I did know that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I did know that they moved from
It is still weird to say that. But
LA were desperate for a football team, is that correct? Because
I don't think LA was desperate for a football team. San Diego was trying to get a stadium built and and they couldn't make it happen, and so the Charger organization just got tired of kind of waiting around for it to happen. They had an opportunity to move up to LA, so they took it. It's a funny thing because, you know, I was born in San Diego, and my grandfather, we're going to go into this now.
We're all getting deep. We're getting into Kim's childhood.
Right. We're getting into my childhood.
I feel like I should expose myself a little bit.
Start sucking my thumb in a minute because I'm going to be like reliving memories. So my grandfather went to the stadium and got the whole team to sign a pennant for me the day I was born. And so, you know, I've always had this.
I'm sorry, Greg. I'm just welling up here. I'm just.
You should. It sits right there next to my Walter Hampton, Bears.
Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Not the Bears.
Wolves.
Oops.
Not Bears.
Wolves.
I got you a bear.
My bad.
For Colin. Colin had a bear. It was a treasured moment that you remember for the rest of your life.
Totally.
Ungrateful fuck.
If it makes you feel any better, I've been having the cookies.
I'm not done yet.
Last little tidbit, and this is you know, for that asshole Gary DeFelice, because look, I don't root for the owners of an organization. I don't root for the city. When I'm watching my football team, I'm rooting for the players on the team. So that's, you know, when they moved to Los Angeles, they kept the Chargers name. I can stick with that. That's okay. I'm good.
Gary's
with it.
Not here to defend himself, so I'll speak on his behalf.
No, he is in the chat, and he's been saying stupid things.
Grow up, support. Grow this up, dumb. Yeah. So,
football.
Okay, yeah. Good. Anyway, so,
all right.
Right.
What do you want to do, Fraser?
I want to move on to what you've been playing, Greg.
I have been playing The Division, trying to get that finished. Damn, that game is hard when you're not in a co-op situation.
That it isn't the easiest of games.
Yeah.
And
it was pretty good up to about level 20. And once you get past level 20, it does this weird jump. So there's like some areas that are like level 18, and there's a couple things that are level 20, and then everything after that is level 25 or higher. So there's this weird kind of in-between where you can't jump into level 25 matches by yourself. You need people to help you out. So it's kind of where I'm at.
It's a little bit of a disparity because you couldn't sort of like just generally host, say, a multiplayer because you're going to have people at different levels.
You can. I can go in and try and find some randoms if I want. There are a ton of people that are still playing. It's kind of surprising, but it's still fairly popular. I just am not one of those individuals that likes playing with randoms typically, so I don't. So I'm hoping to pull Mark Canix in one of these days. Maybe I don't know if Chin, if you still have the Division or not, but maybe I'll pull you in.
I'm level 30 though, so I'd
want to complete the mission, the story, get it done off my plate.
Yeah, I did that recently. It's
is that a Yolg title for you?
It is a Yolg title, yes.
Mike, you got to help him out.
Yeah,
but I've already done it, so...
Don't be that guy, Mike. Don't be that guy. Come on. Don't be that guy.
I will. If I'm on, Greg, I will help you out with the Division. How about that?
That is a nice sentiment. You're probably not going to, but I appreciate you lying. All right, so the other game I've been playing... imagine... I don't know if anybody familiar with Rainbow Six when it first came out back on PC?
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Original
I love that
Rainbow
version.
Six.
Back in yeah, the well, you plan out the route of the AI on the map, and then you'd like go to stage one, and then they go there, and he goes, this is stage two, and they go there, yeah.
Right. So imagine that. Top-down look, where you're looking down from top, and you have a bunch of kind of kill rooms or scenarios that you have to go in with your SWAT team and take out these bad guys. That's the premise of this game. It is a mobile game. It's called Door Kickers. It's like $3.50. Dirt cheap. But it is fantastic. I'm genuinely surprised at how good it is.
Nice.
This game is also available on Steam.
also available on Steam. Probably not $3.50, I'm assuming, on Steam.
On Steam, it is $14.99.
There you go.
Ten out of ten on Steam.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Best tactics game of 2014.
Yeah, and they just announced Door Kickers 2, which basically, you know, what every game that is a SWAT game does eventually, it morphs into a military shooter. So they're going to basically Iraq, and so you'll have your special ops teams in Iraq. Well,
remember SWAT? Did you ever play SWAT?
Played SWAT.
SWAT is very much like this as well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bird's eye view, it was more isometric SWAT. But it's the same thing, like you can't see into a room like the fog of war until you send some guys in there. I'm guessing that's kind of the same thing as this.
Right. Well, you have like under door cameras, so you can you know, snake the door look into the room. Mm-hmm. But so I was purposely looking for games on my tablet because I'm going to be flying out to New York, where hopefully I'm going to meet Gary. My plan is to see him and knife him at the restaurant.
Hey.
See, you love it, really.
Yeah, I do. I'm looking forward to meeting Gary. So hopefully we'll be able to pull that off. But I wanted something to play while I was on the plane. And I thought, you know, I could pay $350+, get a Switch, you know, and go that route. Or spend $3.50 for a game on my tablet. I chose the tablet.
Yes.
Yeah. Or read a book.
Yeah, or read a book. Sure. Book. Yeah, there's that.
Good.
I tried to read a book on a plane, but then because you're surrounded by people, I start listening to them.
Yeah.
And that distracts me more than anything. And I just start listening to people's conversations. And Tara talks to me sometimes, and they go, mid-conversation, you say, you're listening to the conversation behind us, aren't you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I am.
Nice.
Now, I have an amazing talent when it comes to flying, and that is I can fall asleep on the tarmac.
Oh, my God. I can't do that.
I have no problem sleeping on a plane.
Fall asleep on any public transport at all. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
No. I don't even fall asleep in front of the TV. I don't fall asleep on a train or anything like that, nothing.
I was never able to fall asleep until I had kids, really. Now, my secret recipe is to sit down with my daughter and let her watch one of her programs, and that will put me to sleep. So I can fall asleep to My Little Pony at the drop of a hat.
Bam.
Yeah, all right. All right, so that's pretty much me, though. Done.
Okay, well, I'll interject then, and we'll let Mike, our guest, have the run-up at the end. I've been playing Sunset Overdrive. Finally, we've talked about that enough. I finally got to the end. I battled the big building. I know you saw that I'd finished it, Greg, and you said, was I fooled by the fake ending?
Yes.
I was. I got a guy ripped off. I was so keen. I ripped off my headphones, grabbed my phone to go take a picture of my victory achieved screen, only to find out that it wasn't the end. It was okay. You know what? I mean, again, stand by everything I've said about that game before. I think as a whole, it didn't work for me. It dragged on far too long, but it still had some very innovative and cool parts to it. I loved that the final boss battle, the battle in a building, and just before that, when you have the fake ending, I think you're battling all the mechs in the square. That was tough. You know, it wasn't the easiest of battles. Some of that was pretty tough and challenging. So that was cool.
Yeah.
So you know what? If they make a second one, I would probably dip in and see what they did differently. It would probably be pretty neat. But I'm glad it's done. I'm glad it's done.
Yes.
I'm chipping away at that one forever. Another game that I wrapped up was Battlefield Hardline.
Endless handcuffs. Endless.
Oh my god.
I do not even know where to begin with that piece of.
What putting five people asleep in the same room for some reason?
God.
I just love the fact that you literally had endless handcuffs.
Endless handcuffs. But like, my funniest moment is like, I put three people on the floor and they have like little Zeds above them. Is that right, Fraser?
That's right.
Yeah,
they go to sleep.
Like they're asleep.
Greg.
They're
like, Greg. You put them on the
like
tarmac.
Greg. If Greg was a henchman, all right, working for some big boss, he'd be like. and you like, I just had like four people in a room just asleep. Just like, what the fuck is going on with this game?
Just
it's so bad. It's sober.
It's exactly that. You're like arresting three people. Like you put one of them, you grab him onto the floor. The other two just stand there waiting to be arrested, even though they, you know, they've got semi-automatic weapons. It's just I saw people walking through walls to come and challenge me. And the funniest thing as well is I finished that game, and I got one of those diamond achievements. And it said, well done for completing the game on veteran difficulty. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I just walked through that. That was just, it was insanely bad. It was insanely bad.
Do you understand the whole, like, the diamond achievements, what they represent?
Yeah, like, well, actually, that's true. It means that very few people have finished that game, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's true. I only finished it out of duress. I'll give it some dues. There were a couple of points where I was enjoying it. You know, some of the level designs I thought were pretty good, like the final house that you're
battling in. When you first put the disc in?
As you take the disc out and cast it into the sun. that was one of my favorite moments. Curse you, digital copy. I don't know. And you start to see the battlefield elements. Like, there's one bit you have a tank, right? But it lasts about a minute. And to beat the other tank, all I did was butt up against him and just fire, keep firing. I mean, it was so...
That's how they do it in war, Fraser.
It was so...
known tactic.
Why are you battling a tank?
Have you not played this far yet? Yeah.
No.
I have played that game, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well... I thought
it was like cops and robbers.
I guess they're running the Battlefield engine. They're going, what can we possibly do to try and make this better? Well, we know how to do tanks. And they bring out a helicopter. I'm like, yes, I'm going to fly. No, you don't get to fly. You just get to blow it up with the tank, right? So, it was just awful. Oh, my God, what a turd. Anyway, it's finished. Done.
Done.
It's actually paid for itself in the amount of... It's so bad it's good. I'm getting so much value out of talking about how bad it is that it's starting to recoup its losses.
I get that.
You know. So there we go. And anyway, but my game of the week is a game developers called Team Cherry were kind enough to send me a code for a game called Hollow Knight, which I was very excited to play. This is a Metroidvania game. So anybody who likes things like Ori and the Blind Forest, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Guacamelee, those sorts of games where it's 2D, you know, 2D exploring round, you can't get to this bit yet, go do something else, get a new power or new skills. This is exactly that sort of game. It's brilliant. I'm playing it on Steam. It's only out on Steam at the moment. I can absolutely put money on. I'm willing to take bets now that this will be coming to consoles at some point.
I'm looking at it now, Fraser. The art looks amazing.
Yeah, it's like a cross between Ori and the Blind Forest and Limbo.
By the way, this is one of those moments where, like, Mike or Rich would be really good at the stream, and they'd have video up of it, like the game on the screen.
Video up with the name and everything.
No, I absolutely guarantee you, if you're PC gaming and you like Metroidvania, go and check this one out. I'm loving it so far.
It does look like Ori a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't play like Ori, but Ori plays in its own way. Ori was very, very heavy on the movement.
Agility.
Agility and movement mechanic. This one is far more like this has its own little style of platforming. You know, it has its little nuances on the jumping and stuff like that. I mean, we could delve into the minute details of it, but it doesn't matter. I'm just loving it.
It looks like there's like motion blur on some of the animations, which makes it look like a sort of like a Saturday morning cartoon feel. It's a very nice style.
Yeah, it's a really weird style, and I sort of I put a little note down here because I didn't want it to forget. I mean, it's really dark. And it's sort of dark and brooding, and you know, and in a way, you feel like you're dealing with, you know, something very underground and very dark, and like these weird characters. But at the same time, almost everything is really cute as well. And you have to rescue these caterpillars, and everybody you meet they've done really, really cool voice effects. But they're not voices, but they're the way these characters talk. They just have like a little sound on a loop. They're really, really good. Everything about it is just quality. This thing is just gonna be great. You're definitely gonna hear more about it. One of the other things I noted on it though was really weird. There's one of the first areas that you're in. I think it's called the Forbidden Forest. It has, it's a, all the different areas you go to have their own sort of different ambience and background music and art styles. And the first one you're in has this sort of music echoing in the background. And I don't know what's happened or what's made me do it, but all I can hear is Lionel Richie's "Hello" whenever I'm playing right now. I constantly have Lionel Richie in my head when I'm playing in that certain section of the game. It's really, really odd. But there you go. But I cannot stress enough that this game is absolute quality. So I'm really, really, I'm all over that. Keep an eye open for it. Or if that's the sort of thing you're up for, go check that out on Steam.
Do you know how much it is on Steam?
I think it's about $16 or something, $17 up here. So it's not going to break the bank.
So like $5 down here.
Yeah, real money is $5. Yeah, yeah. Not in our rupees. There we go. So that's great.
Hollow Knight. The name of that game was Hollow Knight.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Always wise to do that at the end of that. Mike, what you got for us?
When you talked about multiplayer madness, I've been playing a multiplayer game, and I know I'm a little bit late to the party, but it's Overwatch. I have been loving Overwatch. I heard a friend of the show, Antonio GH Rocker, he's been listening to the Veteran Gamer Show since he was like 13, which is scary, and now he's a man. And he's all about Overwatch. He plays it a lot. And I was listening to him talk about it, and I was like, you know what? I need to give it another go. So I did, and I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with the game now.
What are you playing?
Xbox One.
Yeah.
I'm on the Xbox One.
We've got to get that.
I bought it when it came out. I just sort of thought I knew I would like it. You know, I'm not a big sort of. I don't play World of Warcraft or anything like that, but I know Blizzard are so good at making games. I played, like, I was so impressed with Hearthstone, and I'm not a big card battle player either, but you can just see the polish and see the talent, and you know, they take their time. They
like a Bethesda sort of thing. You know, you're going to get, you might not like it, but you know it's going to be quality anyway, right?
I'd say they're way above Bethesda in terms of quality, because like all their games were always polished. You can't say that about Bethesda. I don't know, I gave it a go with Overwatch when it came out, and I saw that it was good. But for some reason, in the last week or so, it's completely got its hooks into me. So approachable, really interesting to play as different characters. And then when you play as different characters, because no one else can play as the same character, you get killed by another character, and you're like, I want to play as him, because he's always killing me. And then the game's always encouraging you to try and change who you play as, and it's just really clever, and I love it. A bit late to the party, but I'm loving Overwatch at the moment.
I have to say, that is definitely a game that I have in my back pocket, that I know it needs my attention.
You give it some time. That's what you got. You've just got to give it a bit of time. Like, you got to allow it to soak in, because I played it. Like I said, when I bought it, I played it, and I was like, yeah, I get it, it's good. But I don't know, it just wasn't the right time for me or whatever. But I'm just totally in love with it now. My advice is, what I was trying to do before was trying to play lots of different characters to see which one I liked. Whereas now I just sort of concentrate on two or three that I know that I like,
right,
and just getting better and better and better at them. And then now and again, I'll try a different one. So for people that care, my characters are, I don't know their names properly. I think it's Farah. She's like this rocket launcher girl. She's cool. Mercy, who's a healer. And, there's another one. Oh, Bastion. Everybody hates Bastion because he's a tank. But yes, that's what I've been playing with. Overwatch. Nice. I've been playing a game that's been in my backlog, not just for the Dirty 30, but for probably 20 years, which is Banjo-Kazooie. I never played Banjo-Kazooie properly. I played bits of it when my friend brought it around when it came out for the Nintendo 64.
I saw you streaming this, and I sort of like rubbed my eyes and went, is that really? Have I seen things? He's
Banjo-Kazooie, yeah. Yes, I've been playing Banjo with a chap that works with me. So this chap is called Jamie, And he did all the, he's our animator at work, and he does all the art that's on the Veteran Gamers website. And his favorite game ever is Banjo-Kazooie. So we sit down together every other Wednesday and we play Banjo, and he gives me all this trivia about, you know, this is, oh, this is this and this is that. And basically Banjo is a Mario 64 clone. Jamie would hate me if I said that, but that's what it is. And he says, oh, no, they was working on it on the Super Nintendo. Yeah, but, you know, they got influenced by 64, where you collect, you go to different worlds and you collect something, like 10 of each thing, like jiggies. In Mario, it's stars. In Banjo, it's jiggies. And you collect 10 in each world or some shit like that. But it's a good clone, you know. Doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. And it's got its own charm and its own personality, and it's funny. And it's just one of those games I've never... You know, I mean, you probably all got one, right, where 10, 20 years, up to 20-year-old game or something, and you go, I've never played it. I've always got it in my brain that I'm going to go back to it one day.
Yeah, you know what that is? For me?
Go.
Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's so odd, I've never played it.
Yeah, yeah, I played it 24 hours. I did that one, Fraser. Oh, my God, that nearly killed me, that one.
But I loved Banjo-Kazooie. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And I think I loved the sequel even more. They're great games.
Banjo 2 is on... Yeah, it's on my list. It's on my list. Now, Nuts and Bolts isn't on my list, but yeah, 2 is.
Nuts and Bolts is a different game.
It's very much a different game.
It is good in its own right, but it's very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Questions for your friend then. Is he excited about Yooka-Laylee?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He loves Banjo-Kazooie. It's his favorite game ever. He actually worked on the test for... He was a tester for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. And he was a tester for the HD version, which is the one I'm playing. And he was saying, when they was playing Nuts and Bolts, he's like, why is this the next Banjo? And Yooka-Laylee is the thing that he's absolutely obsessed with.
Absolute spiritual success.
Yeah,
I mean, if you watch the clips of it, it's just...
It is, yeah.
You could just... I mean, the music is stuck for a start. You close your eyes and you know it's a Banjo game. So
I think I'm going to sort of continue on. I am putting these up on YouTube very slowly, but I am putting these up on YouTube with the whole playthrough, so it's never cut down or anything of me playing Banjo. But I think we're going to do Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Banjo Nuts and Bolts, and then by then he's probably going to be already played Yooka-Laylee, so I might do Yooka-Laylee as well, just to keep it up. But yeah, Banjo-Kazooie, very good game.
Nice.
It holds up. It holds up really well, and it's full of little surprises. But the big game that I played today, and I haven't done this for a long time, but I played for 7 hours and 55 minutes straight today. Was Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. I was almost dead by the time I put this down. Now, I played it with my good friend Marsh. I play all my co-op games with my good friend Marsh. And I went out this morning, got a haircut, and then we were on the range. Me and Marsh went on the range, the golfing range, and we hit some balls. And then he said, let's go back and play Wildlands, because he's been dying to play it. And just came back, put it on, and that game is huge. That game is massive, because I feel like I've only just started, really, 8 hours in. So for people that don't know much about it, it's an open world 4-player co-op game. It can be 2-player, it can be just on your own, but you always have, if you play on your own single player, you have 3 other AI components. But if you play 2 people, you don't have 2 AI, if you know what I mean. It's just the 2 of you. And yeah.
Oh, really? So did I hear that correctly? So if you're playing 2-player co-op, it's just you and the other person. They take out the other 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
The AI is annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you try and play with me. I'm equally annoying. Because my friend Marsh, he's ex-RAF, you know, so he's sort of like into all this sneaking around and shit. And I just go, fucking cowabunga, motherfucker! And I just parachute in. What I like to do is I like to fly the helicopter and just eject out and see if he notices that I've done it.
Have you tried taking the helicopter up as high as you can go? Apparently it's quite high.
I haven't done that yet, no.
It's like you can go up, it's equivalent of like 10 miles up.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, no, I haven't done that yet. But it wouldn't surprise me, Greg, because this game is huge. Yeah, it's a co-op game. It's Tom Clancy, so you know what you're going to get. You're going to get military, quite serious, takes itself quite seriously. The gameplay is the hook for me. It does take itself very seriously. It does. Like, there's some of the characters, they have a bit of banter, and they have a bit of, like...
Right.
You know, there's like, jokes. They tell. There's, like, a character that always telling jokes and stuff. And that's all kind of annoying to me. Like, I just feel like a lot of the... They talk about which torture is the best at one point, which sort of really rubbed me up the wrong way. Yeah, it's all right, a bit gross.
I'm going to just inject real quickly. Listening to the recent Giant Beast cast, they were talking about this game and Giant Bomb also. And so next time you play, Mike, you need to like get a pen and paper and just log every time you hear the word fuckstick and every time you hear the phrase and Baby Makes Three.
Right, okay. Yeah, I haven't been noting them down, but there's a lot that what you're saying there sums up the game. To be honest, it's the characters talking is just annoying, and you don't like any of them. You can't, I feel like even people in the military would agree that they just it's
kind of root for against them, right?
Yeah, it's just all a bit gross and a bit.
Is it a game? Sorry, Mike. I was just going to say, is this game shining because you're playing it with a friend?
Somebody asked me that on Twitter, and they said, you know, is it fun on your own? And it might be because you've got the three AIs, and apparently they're very good at sort of synchronizing shots. So you can use, you're not on your own. You can use your AIs to help sort of infiltrate. But I mean, I think the fun is playing with your friends. And another friend of mine, Evan, came in. So there was three of us, and when you get three of you, you can really start to split up. But obviously, the more cooks spoil the broth, right? So if you get three people, all of a sudden everything gets a little bit harder to manage. Like, people start wandering off, or they don't. When it was just me and Marsh, it was kind of easy to keep track on who was doing what. When you got Evan in there, and Evan's a really nice guy, and he's a good, you know, he's a good player. He's not bad or anything, but it's just because you've just got another brain thinking for himself that everything gets a little bit disjointed, and maybe somebody, you'll get seen quicker. People will get a little bit trigger happy quicker, but it's more fun because, you know, sometimes you'll get in a truck and I'll just drive the truck in the river because it's funny. Right. You know, and it's just funny. So there's always that stuff in there. What I love about Ghost Recon Wildlands is the gameplay. I don't like the story. The structure of the missions is quite interesting, but the gameplay, moving from place to place, you get some intel on a boss, like Mafia 3. You get intel, and then you pinpoint where they are, and then you kill them. That's pretty much the game. And you have to keep doing that until you get to the head guy. And I've only killed two bosses, and I've played it for 8 hours. Right? And there's loads and loads of bosses. Right. There's tons of I'd hazard a guess there's probably about 16, 15 of them, and I've done two in 8 hours. So that gives you a rough idea how big it is. The gameplay is awesome. I love using the drone. You can upgrade all that stuff. People have been asking about, I'm constantly, is it better than The Division? Is it like The Division? You know, The Division, is it like that? and I would say it looks like The Division.
It's the same assets, right? Yeah, visually it looks like.
You go, that kind of looks like a Division expansion pack. But when you get into it and play it, I wouldn't compare it to The Division.
No.
I would compare it to Far Cry 4. But I wouldn't, you know, a bit of GTA, a bit of Mafia 3 structure, the way the missions are structured.
I heard a bit of Metal Gear Solid 2.
I haven't played Metal Gear, but from what I know, yeah, I'd say that's...
A little bit. I mean, so just to kind of interject, I mean, The Division... you know, that game to me, it looks better than Ghost Recon Wildlands. I think The Division is still a better looking game, because of the city and the way they were able to kind of bring that city to life, or not to life, however you want to look at it. But it's still very much an RPG. So, yes. You know, in Ghost Recon Wildlands, when you shoot somebody in the head, it only takes one bullet.
Yeah, in The Division, you get bullet sponges, right?
Right.
And Wildlands is, yeah, you, like, as Greg said, absolutely, you shoot someone, they go down immediately, and that's very satisfying. I feel like it's an action game. It's not an RPG. It's not a loot-driven game. You do find weapons, but to be honest, I've been using, I think, the same two weapons. You find a sniper very early on, and I've never changed my weapons. Marsh changes his weapons, but the weapons I have are fine. You know, it's
that
not
was
about
one of my things about Battlefield Hardline. You're going to have me going, I didn't change weapons all the way through that game.
No, it sort of felt, I don't know. Whether that's a good thing or a better.
It's a bad thing for Battlefield Hardline.
I think, yeah, for Battlefield, but
everyone's
for me,
a bad thing for that game.
But Call of Duty, yeah, Call of Duty 4 multiplayer, for example, like the first gun they give you is one of the best guns in the game in the multiplayer. So it's, you know, that's if you think of it like that, that's how I feel about the weapons. What you do get is, you know, you get extensions and mag extenders and scopes and stuff. So, but there's not a lot of it, and it's easy to manage. The upgrading system's really easy to manage, very simple, and the co-op has worked flawlessly. We've never been kicked out. We've never had disconnection issues. For now and again, for some reason, his name will just like bounce up and down, and apparently mine does that as well. Like it just sort of flickers. But apart from that, I mean, that's so minimal. You know, when you select a mission, it comes up on the other person's list. Hey, your co-op buddy has selected this mission. Press left on the D-pad to join it, and then you're both doing the same mission. So then it both ticks off that mission on both of your games, and it works for three people as well. It's really simple. Loads really, you know, quick with the map and everything, and if you die, you respawn pretty quickly. As a game, the gameplay elements are really, really nice and satisfying and fun. I'm having fun with Wildlands. I don't like the story, don't like the characters. It's not the best. I don't think it's the prettiest game in the world. It has its moments where it looks quite nice, but like you say, Greg, the vision probably looks better. If GTA 5 has spoiled us all, you know, GTA 5 is one of the most beautiful games even now, and to achieve the open world that it gets, that it does. So Wildlands looks okay, but as a game, it plays really well. So I'm pleased. I'm pleased with it.
Good.
Mike, Teflon12 in the chat is saying that he is offering his services up to assist you in Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Right. Yeah. That's it. That's the thing. Like, yeah. It's great to play with friends. So we had three. We needed one more, and Step J bought the game while he was watching. And said, fuck it, I'm buying it. But he had to wait to download it. And then when it downloaded, his missus came through the door. So what are you going to do? but, you know, it really helped having the third person in. And, you know, me and Marshall used to play in just two. But having that third person in, having a fourth person in, it's really useful. And very easy, I'd imagine. If Teflon's just started it or halfway through it and I'm three quarters of the way through, it's very easy just to, you know, jump into their missions and carry on doing what they're doing. It doesn't really conflict that much. You're just sort of leveling up, really. So that's fine. Yeah.
Good.
All are welcome.
Good. Okay, right. Enough Ghost Recon now.
There we go.
Thank you, Michael. Mike.
No.
Sorry, it's not Michael.
Mick.
Okay, Mick. Good. Right. Let's move on to some news.
I have something for this.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Here is the fucking news.
Okay, I don't know what it was that we just heard, but I believe it's some sort of news jingle.
We hope.
Perhaps. Right, BAFTA perhaps. Game Awards news. BAFTA Game Awards nominees are up for... this is the UK awards show. Anyone from the UK is more than familiar with the BAFTAs. They do BAFTA Game Awards, which have been going from strength to strength. Unlike some of the other game award shows, you don't get the impression that these ones have been bought. So I think they have a little bit more weight to them, if you know what I'm saying.
A bit more credibility to them.
Thank you, Mike. That's what we're saying here, yeah.
A little more cachet.
A little more cachet, yeah. I wanted to go through them, but there's actually the list is massive. So I'm just going to pick out a couple here. There's lots and lots of fields. But best game is probably one that we'll pick out here, and I don't know, just throw your opinions in here. Best game, they have Firewatch, Inside, Overwatch, Stardew Valley, Titanfall 2, and Uncharted 4. It's pretty solid.
So those were all like nominated for best game?
They're all nominated for best game, yeah. Okay. The actual awards are in April. So that's a solid list.
Okay.
And is this all 2016? 2016,
yeah. Last year, yeah, presented in 2017, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that list, yeah, you've got some of the biggest games of the year, which is, you know, Overwatch and Uncharted 4. But then you look at Inside and... Titanfall 2, yeah. Massive budget, massive game, massive publisher. And then you've got, you know, Inside.
No, that's the winner.
No. Inside,
Titanfall 2,
Stardew. Stardew Valley, you know, one dude.
Yes.
Firewatch, small team, Walking Dead.
No. Titanfall 2.
But the fact that they're in the same crowd is that whoever
I know
that
what you're saying.
Was what they're talking that's about.
Right, they yeah, exactly. They do know what they're talking about. So that's pretty good. Here's what have we got here? Best British game. This only stands okay.
Yeah, British.
Well, normally the British, I think, are very, very well represented whenever they have the best British games. I'm not too sure. There's one in there that I know Mike will definitely be all over. But, I mean, Batman Arkham VR is in there. I'm not sure how great that is. Isn't it a real short experience?
Demo. And yeah, is this a game or an experience? You know.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 3 is in there. That's fair play. No Man's Sky. I mean, bless it. Overcooked is in there, Mike.
Yeah, that's the one.
Planet Coaster.
I haven't tried Planet Coaster, and that is definitely like my type of thing. I love Prison Architect and stuff. So yeah
Planet Virginia Coaster. Is in there as well, but I'd not forget that. Okay.
I played that with Stu, sitting next to Stu, and he was all like, "Oh, she's good." And I was just, oh god.
What else have we got here? Let's go down to mobile games. The Banner Saga 2, Dawn of Titans, Deus Ex Go, Pokemon Go. Pokemon Sun and Moon or Reigns. Any of those stand out? We're not the best for mobile games really this crowd.
If we're going on just sheer success out of like nowhere, Pokemon Go has to win.
It does. No sign of Super Mario Runner. Was that this year or was that last year?
I think that was last year. That was November or December.
What else have we got? Multiplayer, Battlefield 1, Forza Horizon 3, Overcooked again, which is interesting because Overcooked is totally couch co-op.
Right.
So that's nice that that's made it on there.
But it is totally multiplayer though. You can't play it on your own.
Right. Okay, good point. Greg's favorite, Titanfall 2, and Tom Clancy's The Division. So that's a strong, strong bracket, isn't it? What else have we got here? One more, just to take us out of this original property. Oh no, let's go for performer. So we have here performers: Alex Hernandez is Lincoln Clay in Mafia 3. You've played that,
Good. All the performances in Mafia 3 are very good.
Sissy Jones as Delilah in Firewatch. I still haven't played that. Anyone else? Anybody played that here? No.
No, it's on my list.
Emily Rose is Eleanor in Uncharted 4.
It's always solid, though. Come on.
Well, it's bound to be, isn't it?
Right.
Navid Negaban as Haj Aga in 1979 Revolution Black Friday.
Winner. Right there.
That's winner. It. Chicken that's dinner. The guy.
I don't know, but you know what? I've never even heard of that game. I'm going to have to highlight that and check that out. I don't even know what that is.
Can you spell that for us, please?
And then Nolan North and Troy Baker, both for their performances in Uncharted 4. Somebody else can win, please, just for a change. I wouldn't be surprised if that Firewatch was to pick it up. I keep hearing great things about... I think they've been nominated in tons of stuff. Anyway, that's the BAFTAs. There's loads more there. Go take a look and go through and see what you think.
Because we cannot be bothered.
Not for all of it, no. And if we keep going through all of it, we'll be here all night. We have some other quick news. Steam tweaks. Steam has tweaked their user review scores again.
What's going on here? So are they actually going in and tweaking the reviews, or are they tweaking how the reviews...
This game is a load of good.
No, they're not doing that. So the way that sounds, no, what they've done is they've just now said that if they can, I guess they can tell from how you what codes are redeemed. For example, if I get a code from a developer and I redeem it and I redeem it on Steam, usually it shows as a beta test. Beta test program or something like that, not usually the full version. I think they can tell now who's purchased the game. They can just tell who's purchased the game anyway. They know what. I'm sure they're smart enough. They know what they're doing. What codes are free codes and what aren't. And basically, they're saying if the code was given to you and it was a free code, a developer code, whatever, you didn't physically purchase that code, you cannot. Your review score doesn't count for the game. So
you don't count.
You don't count. You're nothing. Yeah. So basically, they're just wiping away that bias, which is great. I can't argue that. I think that's really.
I can't either. That to me is a pretty honest approach. It is not necessarily an honest approach or a realistic approach, I guess, in terms of professional reviews. Now I know this is user reviews, right? So
this is user
reviews.
It's
not really the same thing.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? If you go to for a professional, I don't know about you, right? But when I go on Amazon and I want to buy something on Amazon, usually the top reviews, I'll read it and it'll be nice in depth and it'll tell me everything about the product. And then right at the bottom, the guy or girl will say, disclaimer, I was given this product to review by the company. And once I read that, I'm like, I'll take what you say with a pinch of salt, right?
Right. Verified purchase is always one that I look for.
Yeah. You know, and we're the same. You know, we over at Game, you know, particularly over at Game Punches, we were getting quite a few review copies, and it's very difficult. You sort of feel a little bit obligated, particularly when you've had a dialogue with a developer and they've personally have said, "Hey, Fraser, we'd like you to review this thing." And when you get that, and you think it's an absolute steaming dog turd, it's very difficult to get on there. Now, I mean, full credit to I will give my hero, apart from you, hero and legend Greg DeLacy, my hero is Steve Pendlebury over at Game Punches, because he doesn't care who it is who gives a copy of the game. He will tell it like it is. So for him, but not everyone does.
We don't get codes. We got codes back in the early days, and they gave me this game to review, and it was it was like a puzzle game or something. And I remember just that I thought they're never going to listen to the show, all right? And so I played this game, and it was shit, right? It was just shit. And I can't remember what it began with M. Anyway, I played it. I had this game's shit. And I just went on for like 10 minutes. I don't usually like to talk a lot, but I did. And I spoke about how dumb the game is, and they emailed me personally. Going, we're very disappointed about what you said about it. I went, but like, yeah, you got to, we don't get codes. We don't get codes anymore.
It's tough. If you get it from the developer, you feel like you have sort of like this, you're having a dialogue.
Yeah.
And now you're absolutely invested in someone. There's humanity now.
There's an emotional connection. Exactly. You're reviewing with emotion.
The real key is when you get the codes through the PR companies, and we talked to a few of the PR companies. If you get it from them, it's open season, because they are the ones who have to pass it on, right? So, you know, here, pass this review on.
They're just sending out email after email with codes. They're never going to listen to you. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
but this kind of problem is the same kind of problem we actually see in professional reviewers. They are doing these deals with companies, and you know, we've had these conversations for many years now. But I mean, you know, the GameSpot fiasco back when Jeff Gerstmann was still at GameSpot the first time around, where you know they pressured him because of a advertising deal they had to change a review score, and that I still think that kind of stuff absolutely still plays out in today's
doubt about it. We are and I've said this before, as podcasters, we're in a very, very unique position, because if we don't want to do a show, we don't have to do a show. If we don't want to talk about something, we don't have to talk about it. And if we review something and we think it's an absolute pile of dog shit, Battlefield Hardline, we can say it and tell it like it is, you know. So it's we're lucky, you know. We don't have that sort of Damocles, you know, above your head. So it's good. So anyway, good for Steam for doing that. And then there is another piece of news here. Do we have a Naughty Dog fan club on this podcast?
I know I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Yeah,
of
I'm
Naughty
a fan
Dog.
Of Naughty Dog. I think they do good work.
Are you? Are you fan?
Yeah. I think every game that they've knocked out has been good for its time. You know,
yes.
Uncharted 1, play it now, doesn't hold up. When it came out, was unbelievable. You know, it was just amazing. And they always do better and do better. And it's very rare you find someone that good doing that. So, yeah, I love
Naughty
Dog.
I did enjoy The Last of Us, with the exception of the fact that you couldn't take the scissors out of the knife block, and yet scissors were one of the collectibles in the game.
Let it go, Greg.
I can't let the scissors go. Never let the scissors go.
The piece of news is another Uncharted game from Naughty Dog is unlikely, so says who said it?
Even Wells.
Has anyone read this news piece? Because I certainly didn't. And,
I believe that's Evan Wells, yes, by the way.
Evan.
Anyway, that's because I'm not reading the abridged version. He went on to say, I would say that Naughty Dog doing an Uncharted after this, and he's talking about The Last of Us 2, I think.
Right.
After this is unlikely, studio co-president Evan Wells told Game Informer, I would never say never, but we've got The Last of Us Part 2 on our plates, and there's so much other stuff that we want to explore. So.
Now
that's them saying they've got something else after The Last of Us 2 that isn't Naughty Dog, that isn't Uncharted,
right?
Clearly,
right. Yeah. But interestingly enough, the Uncharted DLC that they've been developing out, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it, stars the young lady from Uncharted 4.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Anyway,
no,
so
I haven't really paying attention to
but
it.
But that DLC is starting to kind of approach that. They're saying kind of almost
Legacy.
Like a Witcher 3, Blood and Wine kind of level of DLC, where it's actually quite
like
big.
Expansion packs, but
yes.
Like back in the day.
Yes. And so it's almost like it's taking on the role of actually being its own game. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with that when it comes out. If it's still going to be handled as just DLC, if they're maybe going to make it a standalone that you can play without having the original game.
Gary DeFelici in the chat says, oh God, again with the scissors.
Can't let the scissors go, Gary. Come on.
Brilliant. Okay, anyway. So any more comments on that? Sorry, did I stop you mid-flow there, Greg?
No. It's tough to stop me mid-flow, man.
Too much information. Okay, let's move on to the quiz. Everyone's excited? I am.
Woohoo! I am. I'm excited. I'm part of it.
You're part of it, yes. Okay, yeah. So the way the quiz is going to work is that I'm going to read the questions that were fantastically and wonderfully sent to me by Teflon, Jason Johnson, and if I can just get in here.
Great, I'm Tweedledum.
Yes, we have three in our – the way you can't see this, but the way we work it is in the podcast notes. In real time, the hosts will be split into three, Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and Tweedledummer, and they will be putting in their answers when I say
type. I nominated myself for Dummer.
Okay.
Mike, you're going to be given that regardless.
Kim, you're D.
Mm-hmm.
Who's dumb?
That's me. I'm dumb.
And Mike is dumber. Okay, yes. Here we go. Right, question number one. Guerrilla Games released their first game in 2004. How many games... Oops, let's close my window. How many games have they now released to date, including Horizon Zero Dawn?
I'm not looking anything up.
Is it A, 7, B, 12, C, 10, or D, 9? 7, 12, 10, or 9? Guerrilla Games released their first game in 2004. How many games have they now released since then, including Horizon Zero Dawn? Right. Okay. Everybody ready?
Well, what are the answers again, please? Sorry.
7, 12, 10, or 9.
Okay.
All right. And if you would like to enter your answers now. Look at that. Very exciting. Everybody said A, 7. And the answer is A.
What do you know?
That amazing.
Holy crap.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
I know. Unbelievable. Okay. What are the chances? Someone do that. Work it out. Because you all guessed, didn't you? Right?
Mm-hmm. Educated guess.
Educated
guess. A little bit of educated guess.
Yeah. So anyone who knows statistics, I guess you couldn't do... you couldn't work it out purely, could you? Because educated guesses. How do you take into account educated guesses and statistics?
Well, you start looking at it. They put out a game, what, about every 2 years, 2.5, 3 years. So you kind of start to realize that it couldn't be really more than probably 9. And I remember they had the one, the original Killzone that was back on the, was it the PS2?
Yeah.
I think that was their first one.
Halo Killer.
Yeah, cool. Halo Killer. Right.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Okay, good one.
That's how I went about it.
Nice. Okay, question. Care. No, I do. I'm always interested.
You don't. You don't.
That's not quite true, Greg, and I will challenge you on that, because if you go back and see my participation in quizzes before, I more often than not do exactly what you've just done and talk the thought process out. So there.
I've been host shamed.
You
damn
just
it.
Watch it.
I know. Okay. All right.
I'll tell you
what. I stand
what.
Corrected.
Right. Rat killer. Right, question number 2. What is the current world record time for an any percent speed run of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time? So, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, we're looking for the current world record time for any percent. Not 100% run where you have to collect everything, but any percent. E.g., just get from the start to the end of the game as quick as possible.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, right, here we go. Is it A, 18 minutes and 10 seconds, B, 17 minutes and 13 seconds, C, 21 minutes and 42 seconds, or D, 19 minutes and 4 seconds? I'm not repeating those answers.
God damn you, Jason Johnson.
should we just cut off the seconds bits? Is it 18 minutes, 17 minutes, 21 minutes, or 19 minutes?
Yeah. Choo! Bless you, Mike.
Thanks.
Bless you. All right. I believe I'm ready.
Okay. Is everyone ready?
Sure.
Is everyone debating in their mind whether they've got the right answer? I know you're doing this.
No.
One of those ones you really work out, is it? Okay. So on the – put your answers in. On the count of three.
Oops.
Ooh, look at that. Oh, look at that. The hive mind. Hey, everyone's put in D. All right. And – I don't know. Someone's going to have to tell me what the chances of this are, because this is just amazing. Is that none of you got it right this time? Unbelievable. the actual answer is, in fact, B, which is a mind-blowing 17 minutes and 13 seconds.
Wow. I know how they do it. Do you know how they do it?
Yeah, there's a lot of... they pretty much go backwards, I think, through the whole thing, right?
They jump to move Link quickly... In Ocarina of Time, you jump backwards, but there's a problem with the save, with the way the game loads levels. And if you do a certain thing to a certain boss and then walk through a door, it takes you to the end of the game for no reason.
Okay, yeah, which is fascinating. I mean,
amazing.
It is, yeah. I was watching some speedruns. I think I watched a speedrun last night, actually.
I was watching a speedrun last night.
I go onto the GDQ channel on Twitch, and I was watching a speedrun on Super Monkey Ball.
Here's an interesting fact. I have never watched a speedrun.
Honestly, Greg, if you watch a speedrun of a game that you know well, you will be mind blown.
Yeah.
Absolutely mind blown. You won't look at the game the same again.
I know Fish over on Game Punchers is always talking about games done quick when it was on, and I never really paid much attention until the last one this year. And I sat down and I was fascinated by it.
They're amazing.
Amazing. Just some of the, especially if it, like Mike says, if they're games that you play, it's just amazing. And I think one of the funny things I heard was it's called Games Done Quick. Someone referred to it as Autism Done Quick, which is is that politically correct?
Probably not. But I came across Awesome Games Done Quick. They also do Summer Games Done Quick as well. And they raised tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions for charity doing it. And it's an awesome cause. But I came across it in 2014 when I was getting ready for Mario 64, and I wanted to do as many stars as I could in 24 hours, and I watched these the you know, speedrunners, and new strategies of how they do it was coming about while I was watching.
Right.
You know, like the months that I was watching, they go, oh, we found a new way of doing this. It's longer to do, but it guarantees that you do it.
Yes.
And it's like this mad shit that they have to do. And it's like, how did they figure this out? Yeah. It's amazing.
And they present it very well as well. And
the production's really good on it now.
Yeah, well, they do it now is they'll have a guy sitting doing the speed run on the couch, and he will talk through it. But obviously, when he's really concentrating, they also pull in other speedrunners who are also
they're all
mic'd up. I watched a speed run the other day of Splatoon, and
how do you speed run Splatoon?
Honestly, again, I mean, I play. Yes, Splatoon has a great single player campaign.
Okay,
right. And Splatoon also was really good for this because it has some very interesting travel mechanics. I don't know if you've played Splatoon, but one of the main things about Splatoon is you have your paint gun, but if you paint the floor in front of you, you then turn into the squid and you can go quickly through the paint, and which is why you see squids all the time whenever you see Splatoon stuff. That was very, very clever, some of the way they were doing that. And I would highly recommend, if rather than sit down and watching EastEnders or whatever it is you waste your time watching, you know, take it from me and be really cool and watch
speed run races now. So they get the top three and they race them.
Yes.
And that's really cool. That's awesome to watch.
That sound
kind of
cool.
Also, I know we were on the quiz. There's a YouTube channel that I found recently that I think, Fraser, you'll love. It's called Boundary Break.
Okay.
So what he does, he goes into a game and he breaks the camera and he moves it round so you see what's actually going on in the game. So he breaks all the geometry and in the Banjo-Kazooie intro, like, assets got thrown out and then all of a sudden it'll pop out of here, out of view, but for some reason the developer put it there.
Right.
And it shows you how they made the game, essentially. So Boundary Break is awesome.
Okay, and here's the other thing. We're just going to go down the nerd rabbit hole here, and Mike, because I've got Mike here, right?
Yeah.
Can you remember the name? What's that bot? Did you see that bot they were running this year? Tetrabot or something? Tassbot. What they do is they take a computer, and then they hook the computer up to the Nintendo, something just like a NES. Right? Stock NES.
Right.
But they hook a computer up to the controller. And what the
Is it a Rob the Robot?
No. But what it does is the computer is able to input button presses.
Okay.
Way faster than a human being could. So what they have done is they have worked out ways to hook the Tazbot into the NES game, and they rewrite the games as they're being played. So they took Super Mario World or something like that, and they started the game, and Tazbot basically did button presses so quick that he ended up putting another game, I think it was something like another, you know, GoldenEye or something, into the Nintendo game Super Mario. It's just what these guys get up to. I mean, we called it autism done quick. There's a reason for that. It's unbelievable.
I saw a bot. Somebody wrote a script to teach the computer how to play Flappy Bird.
Right.
So when you see this Flappy Bird, it doesn't know how to play it. The computer doesn't know how to play Flappy Bird. And then eventually it learns how to play Flappy Bird, and it's the best Flappy Bird player ever. It's unbelievable.
All right, well, we're losing.
All I know, I want to kill myself right now, and I want Doritos. God damn you, Kim. I know. I want Doritos.
You could. That's way outside the Doracy comfort zone here. Mike, it's great to have you on board. I could just go full on nerd about this stuff all day.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on then, shall we?
I'm sorry, Greg. Let's talk about guns.
Let's talk about Doritos.
Okay.
Kim brought up. So, okay. Gary D. Felice in the chat was saying he's going to get now spend some quality time with his wife, and he's hoping for some pizza tonight, which. I'm thinking if you're spending quality time with your wife, you should be hoping for a little bit more than pizza. But Kim then responded saying basically it looks like he's going to have Doritos tonight because his little pizza icons look like Doritos, which now has me completely wanting Doritos. Nacho cheese Doritos, maybe a little nacho spice Doritos. I'm hungry right now. I'm really, really hungry.
Well. Sorry.
And the Flappy Birds bots speed run. Yeah, okay.
Right?
Why do we bother? Why?
It's awesome.
Okay. Good. All right.
Are we still on the quiz?
The quiz is over. Thank you very much, Jason, for the quiz questions. Much appreciate it. I don't know how you work the points out in the quiz. I can't remember. 1 point each or 2 points each for what is it? 1 point for.
Well, it's 5 points for me, and 1 point for everybody else.
Done.
10 points for people who are on other shows. So me and Fraser get extra.
For every other show you're on, you get an extra 5 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on to some new releases. Kim, I'm going to pull you away from Dragon Age Origins. I know you're deep into that. I'm going to get you onto this
speed running because you know
pull you out of your sleep.
I'd like to watch it, Greg. You won't get invited back.
Damn okay. Forgot.
I'd like you to speed run the new releases.
Okay, okay. And everybody noticed the first one. What the hell is that?
Danganronpa.
Thank you.
Jinx, show me a beer.
Yeah, that 1 and 2 Reload for the PS4 on March 14th. Star Trek Bridge Crew for the PSVR, the Rift, and the Vive, March 14th. Styx Shards of Darkness for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 14th. Senran Kagura Peach Beach. I knew I was going to get that one wrong. Peach Beach Splash for the PS4, March 16th.
Please, just say that again.
The whole thing or just the Peach Beach?
Oh, the whole thing.
Okay. Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash. Say that one about 5 times fast. And The Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus.
That just sounds nasty. I'm sorry.
Right? For the Switch on March 17th. And those are your new releases for the 12th and the 18th.
Wonderful.
Okay. Is it going to cost $10 more like Rime? That's a piece of news we didn't cover. We should talk about, Fraser.
What's this?
So Rime is going to be coming to the Switch. And it's going to be $10 more than it will be on the consoles, the PS4 and the Xbox One. They have not given any rhyme or reason, yes, pun intended, as to why it's $10 more.
Is the digital version $10 more?
I believe so. It's like a Nintendo tax.
Weird.
Yes. So
the fuck's rhyme anyway?
That's that game that Tequila Works was working on. I think it was Tequila Works. That's the company that was working on it. It was supposed to be a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
And then spell Sony... it? Is it a weird spelling of rhyme?
I think R-H-I-M-E, I think.
Not familiar with that. Oh, well.
Yeah. So it was a PS4 exclusive. Then Sony basically said, yeah, no, we're not going to back this anymore. And so they had a little bit of a split up. And so now they're bringing it to multiple consoles.
Okay. So. All right. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye open for that one. Yeah. Greg, do you want to go through the monthly freebies quickly?
I would love to. All right. So Xbox Live Games with Gold, March 2017 games. Project Cars, available February 16th through the 15th of March. So it's got a couple of days left. If you haven't downloaded Project Cars yet, do it. It's a racing game if you like racing games. Layers of Fear is available all month long. So,
do we
March
know anything?
1st,
what is Layers of Fear? Do you know anything about
it? I believe it's a horror game, but it's not super scary. It's more like atmospheric, creepy.
Oh, okay.
And it has to do with art. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Other than the fact that I've heard it's atmospheric horror, not so much jump scares. Evolve will be available for download on the 16th, and that'll run through the end of the month.
We're going to get on that. I think that'll
be some good fun. And then Xbox 360 games available through backwards compatibility. Borderlands 2 is available all basically March 1st through the 15th. So if you want to play an old-gen Borderlands 2, you can. And Heavy Weapon, that will be coming up on the 16th, and it'll be available through the end of the month. It's a side-scrolling kind of, shooter, if I remember correctly. Almost kind of Worms-like. I think that's really kind of its deal. Right. But
it plays like Contra a lot, but you're in a tank. That's what it looks like.
Then I don't know if we updated the PlayStation 4. PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation Plus has not been updated, actually.
Yes, because I know these are different. So let me pull those up properly, so we don't you know, give people the wrong games. That's the last thing we want to do. All right, so free games for PlayStation Plus in the month of March. Here we go. Disc Jam, and some people are saying this is the next Rocket League. So
well, Disc Jam is, can I give a bit of background?
Sure.
Have you ever heard of a game called Windjammers?
I've heard of it.
I'm not familiar.
So Windjammers is an old school, I think it was on the 3DO or something, not very well known, but it was very big with fighting communities, you know, like the sort of Street Fighter communities and stuff like that. Windjammers is a frisbee game, one-on-one, and it's quite skill-based, very cult following, and they're remaking it. And it's just sort of this game that's been ticking around in the background. And for some reason, the last year or two, it's been popular again. Disc Jam is a rip-off of Windjammers. Apparently a good one. But Windjammers HD is coming to the PlayStation soon. So that's what this is.
All right. Hmm. Okay. So you've got that. You've got Tearaway Unfolded also will be available. And then Under Night in Birth.
That sounds gross.
Pretty much.
Indeed.
The alien shooter Earth Defense Force 2025.
I've never played any of those.
Well, you could now if you have PlayStation Plus.
I don't.
PlayStation 3 games this month are Lumo, and I believe that's also a cross-buy for the PlayStation Vita and PlayStation 4. And then the last one is a first-person slasher game for the Vita called Severed.
It's supposed to be pretty good.
There you go. Those are your PlayStation Plus games.
Under Night in Birth is a anime fighting game, so we're all going to get that.
Joy.
Yeah, Severed was made by the same people who made Guacamelee, so it's got some chops. Out of Toronto. Drink box.
Hmm.
There we go. Okay, the Year of Living Dangerously is next.
Wait, hold on. I've got a sound effect for you for there.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
That's good radio.
Yes. Here we go. It's Bongo.
What is the Year of Living Dangerously? Well, there are six simple steps. Number one. This is a personal gaming challenge over 12 months to help you finish the games that you've bought instead of playing them for 2 hours and going out and buying something new. 2. Select 30 games, your dirty 30, that you really want to finish. 3. Email your dirty 30 list to bongo@ocpod.com so it can be logged and we can monitor your progress. 4. Set a budget. A budget so you can buy new games. Yes, you can buy games. Mine is £100 or $120. 5. Complete the game to the credits and take a selfie with the credits in the background and tweet that to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved and the hashtag YOLG. And finally, 6. Enjoy your Dirty 30 and tell us all about it by Facebook, Twitter, or email. And that, my friends, is the Year of Living Gamedrously.
He's not even here, is he? He's not even here. We've had to sit waiting for him to get on with it. Oh, bless him. But good old
a minute and 22 seconds. That clip is a minute and 22 seconds.
We need an abridged version of that. All right, so if there's anything you don't know about the Year of Living Gamedrously, you can go read all about it on Robin's blog, bongo.ocpod.com. Safe to say, I can't go without saying it. It's an amazing thing that he's done, and we all love him for it, and it's just awesome.
It is.
And you're top of the list, Fraser.
I could be top of the list, yeah.
You are.
Me and PG Tips are exchanging blows.
You've got 18, PG Tips has 17, Terraform has 15, John Mouse has 13, and Piltrees has taken over the fifth spot with 12 games completed on their Dirty 30.
Very nice, yeah. I am just keen to get that list done and dusted.
Bastard.
Yeah, so...
I think I've got 4.
So, right, so who would like to read through that? Kim? Come on.
Sure. All right, hold on, let me scroll down a little bit. We have on our Yolg, we have Teflon 12 with Call of Duty, Black Ops 3, Gunslinger X 1983 with South Park, The Stick of Truth. We have Chinny with The Stanley Parable.
Ah!
Yeah, look at that. Oh, shoot, I scrolled the wrong way. I hate when that happens. Terraform with Rive.
There's that.
Jay Brones. Jay Brones with Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. Pilch Reed and Daisy Dumpling with Lovers in a Dangerous Spacetime. Daddy Icken with Gears of War 4. Oh, look. It's our lovely Fraser Moo with Sunset Overdrive.
There we are.
Yeah. PG Tips with Ori and the Blind Forest. Terraform again with Never Alone. That's one I've got to finish. Caliburn M with Raceland 2. PG Tips with Unravel.
All right, let's go just back there. What, just back two more. What was that about Never Alone?
I have to finish it. Actually, I haven't even started it. But, you know, here it is.
I love
it. Right, you want to hear something worse? Unravel? You know, I also have to finish that one.
Have you started that?
Yes, I have started that one.
Okay.
Marcanix with Wolfenstein, The New Order. That's also another one I have to start.
Wolfenstein!
Sorry, Wolfenstein. Sorry.
Wolfenstein?
You have to say it with the proper, like, Nazi influence.
Wolfenstein!
You know,
Wolfenstein!
All right, you got that covered. Bobbins with Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Bobbins again.
You got that covered there.
Yeah. Frasier again with Battlefield Hardline, who I also agree was terrible. That was the one Battlefield campaign I could never finish. Daddy
I'll
Hicken
give you a pass for not finishing that.
Thank you. Raining God Zippo with Larry. Lego Harry Potter, years 1-4.
Larry Potter.
Larry Potter, coming soon to a theater
cousin.
Near you.
the redneck cousin.
That's the redneck cousin.
Oh, Larry. What have you been doing, Larry? Not a lot, really. Just been to school, just maths. Nothing, really.
Drinking beer, shooting raccoons. But anyway, Natras 79 with Final Fantasy. Sybil 27 with Gears of War 4. Amorous 89 with Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. That's a non-yolk. And holy shit, he's finished that already. I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Overachiever.
Gary DeLever does not have a life.
I would like anyone to put their hands up who's surprised by that. I don't see any hands going up.
Nope.
I mean, we say
I love Gary.
We say
but, I mean, that man he is a machine as well.
He's a Nintendo machine too, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Something.
All right, and last but not least, we have a little note here at the bottom, and it says, "Hi all, a late and short one." That's what she said. How's this for a pile of shame entry? Split Second came out in 2010, and I completed it last year. This time, Ridge Racer 7, a PS3 launch title that I bought in 2008. Please excuse my face in the photo. It is, unfortunately, the only one I've got. Simon Kimster, Kosigan.
Nice. Thank you very much,
yes,
Simon.
Yes, please note second. Three second. Syllables. So I it's this is probably going back to my pronunciation. You know, I Chef-a-lon,
Ed
Chef-a-lon, right?
That,
right.
How did you put
Cosine? I think I called him Cosine before, so he wanted to make sure that I wasn't being an asshole.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I'm catching beef, and I'm not even here. I don't know.
You are here.
I am here.
I think that's a show.
Is that a show? Because if it's a show,
all sorts of show.
All right, I've got more. Sound effects.
Okay.
Huh? Let's let everybody listen to this little tidbit.
Hey, it's Tully Bop. Bongo the Scene says, if you want to be part of the conversation live, we broadcast weekly on twitch.tv/OC podcast at 11 PM UK, 3 PM West Coast, 6 PM East Coast. You can email the show podcast@ocpod.com. Tweet us at @OC_podcast. Our Facebook group is fb.ocpod.com. Please leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. All reviews, good or bad, are welcome. We have the best clubs: OC Podcast Club on Xbox One, OC Podcast Community on PS4, OC Podcast Group on Steam, and don't forget our OC Podcast server on Discord. Discord.ocpod.com.
Yes, we mustn't forget the Discord channel.
Okay. Good. None of us could hear that. I have no idea what you just played.
So that was our closing notes, and I did have it. So that was actually Bongo the Sane's son.
Oh, it's the Charlie thing, right? Okay,
yes, perfect. Charlie Bob.
Wonderful. Yeah, good old
so
Charlie.
So he just took care
great.
Of. Yeah,
I did hear that before. It's great. Okay, good. So he took care of all that for us, and then right. I guess we just do some shout-outs and get out of here. So over to you, Kim.
Alrighty. I want to thank you all, like normal. It's always fun when, you know, I come on and do these things, even though, you know, you pick on me and that's sort of mean, but alright.
Why do we do that? Shut up and play some
games. Why me? But anyway, I also want to thank our shatters, and we've had quite a few. There's been, of course, Mr. DeFelice. And he's getting his Doritos off his wife, or I don't know, something like that. We've had Viva La Paytas. There's Teflon 12, Really O'Reilly, Baron Von Glauer. Of course, we were all in there. I'm scrolling to see if there was anybody else in here that I might have missed, because that was the list so far, but I'm sure we've had several others. So, thank you guys for stopping by, you know. You're the reason we do this thing. So, Pilch was in there. That looks like that was about it. So, you know, thank you all for showing up. You're the reason we're here. So, yeah. How about you there, Mike?
I'm here because of the cash, Kim.
Wait, he's getting paid and I'm not? I see how
this
it is.
This has got awkward. I'm sorry. I would like to shout out Really O'Reilly, because I was streaming for 7 hours, 55 minutes and 4 seconds today, and he was there for about 6 of them, I think, which is amazing that he was there. I was so sure that he wasn't there that I just switched the stream off, and he went, bye then. I didn't realise, but he was there for a while anyway. I'm not sure, it might have been 4 hours or something, but he's there. And to everybody that is watching me live playing Skyrim, I'm going through the whole game of Skyrim. Every minute that I play of Skyrim is streamed, and then I do like a highlights video on our YouTube channel. You can find that YouTube channel at veterangamers.co.uk. That's where I'm from. I used to be on this show, but Greg fucking kicked me off.
That's because you were not willing to commit to me, Mike. It was hard to get to Tara.
Yeah. Well, you know, she wore me down. But no, it moved to a Friday, and I went, Friday. That's party
Pretty
day
much.
For me. But no, thanks for having me on. So shout out to you guys. I love the show still. I suppose I am sort of a guest, an odd guest now and again. But yeah, I still listen to the show, still love the show. So shout out to everybody that works on the Overseas Connection. Love to you all. And I suppose I should shout out Stu and Duke from the Veteran Gamers. Because,
that's that
you
show
know,
that you're on, right?
That's the show that I'm on. I don't like to talk about it, Fraser. It's a bit awkward. It's been a laugh. Thank you very much for having me on. I will pass it over to Greg.
I know this is. I'm excited to be here and supporting Fraser Moo on your inaugural official on your own, not really kind of, you know, hosting duties.
I don't know why. Why is Fraser the host and you're on the show? I don't know why this is.
So Fraser and Robin, because they, unlike somebody that used to be on the show a long time ago, actually stepped up and started doing things. And helping out, and
is that
and
a show?
you're quick, aren't you? Yeah, it's the problem with the younger
that's
generation.
That's what Doc said.
No, so they just really have been, I think, fantastic in their hosting roles when they've been guesting. And I thought, you know what? It's time this podcast moves beyond that. So they have official weekends now. Fraser has every second weekend. He hosts. Robin has every third weekend of the month, and so I can stand in when needed, like tonight.
It's kind of like divorced parents, and you go, right, you have the second weekend, and then we'll swap every other weekend.
That's one way to look at it, sure. Yeah.
What I would like you to do, and do this, is try and work out what benefits Greg gets from it all, and work out what benefits I get from it all. You can quickly see that most of it moves over to column A. But whatever the reasoning is, I'm more than proud to be doing it. And I enjoy hosting, right? So it's I love talking. like Mike.
I knew
not
this.
Quite as much as Mike, but I like talking. Mm-hmm. But, it's good. It's fun.
Yeah. No, I knew I and this is just out of conversations we had, Fraser. So, I saw Robin kind of has also been stepping up, and you know both of you guys are great hosts. Robin, so there's no need for me to be a host all the time. So. The podcast has evolved. We've got a great crew. We can interchange components, and we can bring in guests when needed, and OG podcasters like Mike. It's awesome.
It gives you a well-needed break, Greg, which I hate saying this, but you deserve it. You do.
Thank you. Bless your hearts. Fraser, well done, as always. Mike, I love podcasting with you, so it's great to
I love podcasting with you, Greg.
Don't lie.
I do.
And Kim, it's always fun. I know we poke a lot of fun at you, but you know it's out of love, so at least I hope you do. I know. I have a blog that I desperately need to update for my year of living gamesrously. It's greg.ocpod.com. So sorry to anybody who might have come across it and read and realized I have not updated it for the past month. I will get in there and make my updates. You can follow me on Twitter @OC_Murphy's Law. Kim already thanked everybody under the sun. So I think the only person left I need to thank is Grace for allowing you, Fraser, to podcast tonight.
Definitely.
She deserves a little shout out. A shout out to my wife too, I suppose. I should do that. She was making fun of me through the window right here.
Rightly so.
And the guy who pumped gas into my car back in 1987. That guy was special. Oh yeah.
And he was very nice.
That lady served me at the 7-Eleven.
All right, Fraser, off to you.
My wife's sitting there pointing. She thanks you very much for that shout-out, Greg. So I would like to shout-out Greg for shouting out my wife. That's very kind of you. Thank you. No, thanks to everyone. Thanks for...
Circle chat.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. So I think everybody has thanked everyone. It's wonderful to podcast with you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Mike, for coming in today. Appreciate it. Strap your skates on and get ready for a Bongo next week.
Yeah.
Going to be hosting. If you are listening live and this gets out quick enough and you've managed to listen to it in the morning, which is never going to happen, try and make Battlefield 1. Anyway, 12 o'clock, Sundays, multiplayer. Be there, be square. We're going to sort it out every weekend. And that's pretty much it. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Play that funky music?
Yep, sure.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
Hello, Fraser. Are we anticipating Mike?
We are still anticipating Mike, yes.
All right.
That good for news for you, Greg. Look. No t-shirt.
I appreciate that.
Thank God.
Is it on underneath?
No.
You have a rather dapper sweater on.
I know.
You're rather kind of dressy. Is it cold?
It was minus 12 this morning.
Holy shit.
That's, yes, in new money and snowing.
Wait, minus 12? Oh, yeah. It's 10. Is that 10? 10 degrees Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
It's 68 here.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah. We had like 70 last few days or 60, and then yesterday it snowed, and I'm like, you son of a bitch.
It's brutal.
Damn it. I was ready to break out the shorts, you know.
So I am expecting Mike and...
I'm now ready to podcast.
Nice. What's that from?
Titanfall 2. Hang on, wait.
There you go.
Can't see anything with this light on, by the way. Most dangerous thing they possibly could have done. Yeah, okay, that experiment is.
Very snazzy, Greg. Where did you get that from? Is that like a... Was that a particular pack or something? Or something?
Say it again?
Where did you get that? Was that something you bought separately from the game, or you got it with the game?
Yeah, no, I picked it up separately. It was a collector's edition thing, and I was like, you know what? I've been decorating out my office with some video game stuff, so this was this was definitely part of it. So, all right, let me go put this back in. I'm assuming Mike's not showing.
Yeah, he's here. You need to add him on. Sorry, you were...
I was fucking around.
About with your help.
Right. My bad.
Fuck it off again, goddammit.
Hold on, let me just greet Mike properly.
Of course.
She says that.
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 That?
That.
Hello, I'm Grace. Apparently and that.
Sign was language. That better?
Who normally hosts?
I think that's a bit better.
I you know, some jackass normally hosts, but he got it in his head that he was going to spread the wealth. So
wealth being a figure of speech.
That also true, because I'm not sharing the profits. No way.
Can you hear that?
Not happening. I'll just scream. I can scream a lot.
Fainter, can you hear him? Twitch rip, so.
Yeah, welcome if you can send it to me. The you can Dropbox it.
Overseas connection.
The bass is tickling in my ears. That's making me feel funny in other spots.
I like it, Greg. I was playing very well on the range today, Greg. Let's say.
Oh, nice.
I was hitting those balls well today.
Hitting straight and true?
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts. Similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, now.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.